My name is Hazel, and one thing I've learned about marriage is that you get a wedding ring, and that represents.
Webster's defines atypical as not like the usual normal type. Well, welcome to The Atypical Podcast from theatypicallife.com. I am Matt Mooney.
And I'm Jenny Mooney. Here, we take a look at all kinds of things.
We may tell stories. We call them side stories, welcome a friend to join us, or interview someone more widely known and ask them all kinds of questions. And sometimes, yes, sometimes we may just do a little Matt chat, discussing the current happenings of our life.
Through all of it, we hope to give you something atypical as you listen along your typical day.
Jenny, today is a special podcast. They're all special in their own way, but this one is extra special because Friday is our 16th wedding anniversary. Woo! Now, back it up even more because Thursday is the day that we celebrate your birthday. So we call this your birthiversary week.
You know, I think it's the first year that you've said that, right? And it's genius. We should have said it before.
It is genius. So we celebrate your birthday tomorrow, actually, on Thursday. Our anniversary is Friday. Now, we celebrate your birthday on your half birthday. We're confusing about that. Elliot passed away on your birthday. And so that's become a special day in its own right, but not a day when we do a lot of things for your birthday. I didn't like that. We're going to be talking about marriage. We're just jumping right in the deep end.
Well, the first like 2 years or so, it would come to my birthday and it was like the anniversary of him passing. And so you'd be like, it's also your birthday. And
it just couldn't happen.
It's like, no way.
And so I'll tell you what I did, Jen.
Tell us all about it. So
I said,
story.
Your half birthday is your birthday. And by golly, our whole community is going to celebrate. And so we celebrate that day for you.
Yep. And it started with my 30th birthday.
Boop, boop.
And
are you?
And Matt,
what are you, 31 this year?
Yeah. So just last year. It started with my 30th birthday, and Matt threw a surprise party for me, and he got all my friends on board. And what's been really beautiful about this to me is it has given me such freedom to celebrate and to be surrounded by people who know me and love us and loved Elliot. So there was no question, like when you drew people in, it's a really, people kind of outside of that circle might kind of go, well, that's weird and I don't get it, you know, need further explanation. But these, you know, amazing friends of ours did not need further explanation, and they came and they showed up. And my 30th was a surprise half birthday, and we have stuck with it ever since.
We have stuck with it, and it is this week. Tomorrow we celebrate your birthday. And for this particular podcast, more importantly, though not more importantly, of equal importance in our life, but for this podcast.
But for this podcast.
More importantly, because today we are going to talk about 16 tidbits, if you will, things have learned along the way about marriage. We've invited some guests to help us get to 16. We've got a few of our own, some surprise guests along the way. So hold on to your hat. We're going to talk today about 16 things we've learned about marriage to celebrate our 16th anniversary. So here we go. Jenny, I thought the way that we would do this, and I think there's a few little caveats here.
Okay.
Before we get started. One is, hey, not everybody that listens to this is married. And we affirm people that are single and happy in their singleness. We affirm people that are single and wishing they were married. We affirm people on all walks of that. In fact, we did a podcast about singleness with Lindsay Nobles. And we encourage you, if you're in that boat and you want to hear that content, it's one of our very early episodes.
I think it was the first one, wasn't it?
One of the very first ones, if not the first one. And it was on singleness. So we talk about that. And so we think that's important. We don't want to act like that our marriage is the penultimate thing that everybody should be aspiring to. But this is our story. This is our week. And this is our podcast, by golly. So hopefully you can glean something for this, even if you're not married. But if you are, or if you want to be, or if you one day will be, here we go with the 16 things we've learned. I thought we'd bounce back and forth a little bit on this. And again, we will have some special guests along the way. But the number one thing on my list, Jenny, and I didn't rank these in order, so the fact that it's number one just means I'm thought of it first.
Okay.
But was this, what I will say, do not set your eyes on each other. In fact, this week I did an Instagram post.
It was real sweet.
And I know you...
It was real sweet.
You semi-hate it when I go public with my love for you.
Semi.
And I love you, so I don't do it too often. But I did think it was important to tell the world how in love that we are. And I wrote this on my Instagram post. From the Instagram account, at Matthew Lyle Mooney, which is me, just a day ago. And I quote, "Listen, Jenny Mooney, it's 3 days until our 16th anniversary. I wrote you a song on our 5-year anniversary before we'd known loss or pain, before we held each other and doubted everything we had ever known after Elliot was gone. Side note, Elliot was our son who passed away." Back to Instagram. "Before we had ever doubted secretly if our union was going to dissolve or fortify under the weight that befell us. But you never gave up on me, and I never dreamed that a day without you would make anything better. What a grace God poured out on us that we looked to him instead of each other. I've never known a day that I did not love you ever since I saw you walking up that dusty camp road, and I never will." And then I refer to this song that it won't make sense without the picture. Instagram is pictures, but it was Thinking Out Loud by Ed. We're just going to call him Ed because I'm afraid I'll say his last
Sheeran.
Name.
Sheeran. Yeah. Ed Sheeran. I'm here for you. See?
Hey,
look
thanks.
At this. Look
thanks.
At this.
Look at us. Working good. So the point of that long, rambling, beloved Instagram post to you, and I meant every word of it, was the number one thing on my list, which was in marriage, you know, the ability to put our faith and our hope and our wants and desires mm-hmm. and all of that into something bigger than me putting it into you and you not looking to me for that, that we find all of that in following our Father, following God through Jesus.
Well, and this is a concept that I think, you know, you kind of know, and then it was just put on steroids, you know, in those days, especially the early days after Elliot was gone, and like you could not step in and really help my grieving mom heart, and I could not step in and help your grieving dad heart, and so we had to look outside of each other for that. And I mean that's the same now with desires and hopes and dreams and all that. Like, you are not the fulfillment of those in me, but it was just so amplified in those days.
Yeah, and I think we obviously, when we talk about marriage, we jump straight to losing Elliot, which is very probably interesting for people. Like, okay, that's part of your story, but you know, but I think for us, we can't look at our marriage without kind of looking what for us was the absolute low point of life for both of us individually, and then both of us together as well. Because I mean, part of our story is that, you know, we sailed through our first 5 years of marriage, which is not everybody's story. It's not most people's story.
Yeah, a lot of people have a hard time in those first few years as they're figuring out how to do things together. And for us, I mean, we were just like buds. I mean, we had fun.
We had never lived in the same town. We thought it was amazing to like see each other, even if we saw each other for 30 minutes a day. We're like, awesome. We never longer than the years we were dating. And so the beginning of our marriage was super fun. I was doing youth ministry. We were doing that together. We were figuring out life together. And I'm sure we had arguments, but I mean, we kind of sailed through it.
Yeah.
And I kind of sometimes feel like, you know, we talk to a lot of people about marriage and stuff, you know, and if it's hard really fast, it's like, that's cool. That's a lot of people's story. But for us, that wasn't our story. But what happened was 5 years in, we had and lost our first son, Elliot. And I remember vividly, and we talk about this, but I remember vividly us in the throes of grief and not understanding what you were walking through, or, you know, or we were both going through the same thing, and we both felt very together in that, and mm-hmm. yet it's still just the grief and the anger and all the stages spewing on each other, you know. I mean, I say you're mad at, you know, you just kind of look around because you're mad, you know, when you lose you're mad, you're angry, you know, and you kind of just, well, you're there, you'll do, I'll be mad at you. And so I mean, grief and marriage and all of it is a really weird thing to try to sit here and explain, but the point is, I remember us looking at each other, me, because I'm kind of the the talker of the two of us, and saying, you know, this is the first time that our marriage isn't fun.
It's not fun.
And it was like, honestly, that was like, that sounds so easy to say today, but that was a big like elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Because it had never not been fun for us. It had always been like so great, so fun. And so we just kind of looked, and I remember just being able to be honest with each other was refreshing to say, you know what? I'm married to you. It's not fun right now, but I'm still in this and I still love you. And honestly, I hope it gets back to fun one day. But if you would have asked me, I would have been like, and we're probably never getting back to that fun
feels,
level.
And I would say it feels that way all along the way. Is that in harder that was like extremely hard season, obviously, but even in other harder seasons, it feels like we'll never get back to fun. It feels.
I don't feel that way. I'm just kidding.
I thought you were serious. I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm just kidding. So
let me say this though. Some listeners, Matt, may be wondering. Because you started this with what you posted on Instagram, and you said that when we had been married 5 years, you wrote me a song. I was actually pregnant with Elliot at that time.
That's right.
Are you a musician? Let's talk about this for just a second. Because some people might go, I didn't know Matt was a musician.
No, I can play no instruments and no notes. I wrote the words and grabbed a musical friend, and we did it together.
It was a huge, awesome surprise. Because if you're married to someone who's not a singer-songwriter, and they write you a song, I was like, how did this happen? It's actually really great.
Well, so they will not all be that deep or that long.
Or we'd be here.
We don't have that long on the podcast. But we started with some. But there is one more in grief for me, so I'll go ahead with the next one as well. I feel like it was something that we learned in grief. So I'm starting at the bottom. Let's look at our 16 years of marriage and let's go down to the bottom. But again, I think we look back on that time for our marriage as a huge win and a huge strengthening because of this. And this is number two for me. The same things that can drive you apart can also strengthen your bond. And I think we kind of intuitively knew when we walked through loss, like, wow. There's no way that this doesn't affect our marriage.
Right.
Will it be for the good or will it be for the bad? And we both really hoped and prayed that God would in that strengthen us what we knew and we felt was pulling us apart.
Right. Right. So good. Do I need to go number three?
Yeah.
Okay. Number three. Matt's been super deep. I'm going to pull us to the surface just for a second, kind of. Number three. Decide what little things that you are going to let go of and really let go of them. And here's what I mean. Can I give an example? Am I allowed to do this?
Let me look to the judges. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like by giving this example, it's going to seem like I haven't done this because I'm bringing it up, but I have.
Well, we're just all confused because we don't know what you're talking about.
So number three was, decide to let some of those little things that might, I'll say a little bit more about it, that might agitate you or bother you about just living with another human being, decide to let those go and then like really let those go. And here's my example. I love you, sweet
Smokey.
Husband of mine of 16 years. One thing you need to know about Matt is that he reads the paper, and at different seasons of our life, he has had up to three different newspapers. So a Sunday morning would consist of the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal weekend edition.
And that would have come on Saturday. Let me just straighten out the facts.
Yeah, but I'm just saying what
no
would
day
be
would
around.
Have held. No, it would have been three newspapers.
And the Northwest Arkansas Times.
That came, but it would have been
not
two
Times.
Two of the same.
What is it? The Democrat Gazette.
So there you go.
Would be the Sunday edition, would just be like everywhere. You know, and so it'd be like, well, look, there's some of the paper in the living room and there's some beside the bed and there's some, you know, on the stairs and just like pieces of paper everywhere. And it used to just drive me crazy. And at some point I thought, you know what? Matt loves to read the paper. Like, who cares? You know? And so I think you just have to. And that is just a an example of we can just hold on to these things. I think you have to decide to let things go and then just really let them go. It's not super important.
Thanks for letting me have my paper, babe.
You should have your paper. Like, you should read your paper, and thank I shouldn't complain about that.
You know what I find funny about that one that you picked out is, like, if you said, has Matt had to learn to put up with more kind of messy things, or has Jenny, who do you think?
Oh, totally you. Totally you. I'm way messier.
So it's just funny. That's my one.
That's just like
you're, my one thing. Biggie is newspapers everywhere, probably.
Yeah, and it's sort of like you're better and like things more like picked up than I do. But when I am picking up, I just, and somewhere along the way with like kids, I was picking up all these toys and I thought, this is not a toy. This is an adult who can pick up his own newspaper. And then I was like, no, let's let that go. So,
well, it sounds like you went back pretty fast. Like a
All
right, moving right along with your imperfection.
Okay, good.
Thank you for that one, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Number four. A grace-filled marriage is a happy marriage. This one, I don't have a lot to say other than there are lots of opportunities in marriage to extend grace and to realize that you need grace. Maybe it's my newspaper, Jenny, and your blood gets boiling. Maybe it's bigger than that. But when we, with each other, operate in grace, we do really good.
Yeah.
And when we hold on to things, tuck them in our bag, and let them pile up, you know, and then just dump them in a throw-up session on somebody, we don't do as good then. And so I think grace is this idea of pre-forgiveness, that I don't expect you to treat me perfectly today. I don't expect you to do everything we've ever talked about before. And when I'm confronted with your brokenness, when you're confronted with my brokenness, we already kind of expected that and have made a decision to pre-forgive one another. And that is much easier discussed than lived out.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And it seems like one of those things that if you're just sort of thinking about it, you think, well, it's probably easier to give your spouse grace and forgiveness than, like, you know, little things like someone cutting you off on the interstate or, you know, something like that. But no, it carries a heavier weight with someone that you love. And I will say this to Hazel and Anders when they're arguing. I will say the reason that this has escalated so quickly is because you guys really care about each other. And if it was someone that you didn't care about, you'd like kind of let that go a little quicker because it wouldn't hurt you as bad. And so it's really to just kind of toss that out there is one thing, but to really live it is radical and difficult and hard.
And I think this is a good time to say, we don't pretend that we are discussing these 16 things because we've got marriage figured out.
We are given, with each 16, we're giving ourselves a gold star. Check.
Check. We learned that one. It doesn't mean we're living it out. So, you know, if you in your marriage are having a hard time in marriage or you're struggling in marriage, we get that. This is not a list of things that we've learned because we read great books and are really wise. These are things that we've learned because we're broken and we need to learn to extend grace, not because it's come natural. So caveat, big caveat number two. Jenny, I think we're on number five.
Number five.
Hi, this is Carrie, and I have been married to Andy for now almost 13 years. I would say that I wish I would have heard this advice sooner because it really has changed our marriage. It's a little, groundbreaking and a little radical, but it's really been a lifesaver. I would say that you should get your own beds. At least have an extra bed to use a few nights a week for just a few nights of really, really good sleep. I'm a light sleeper, but my husband is a heavy sleeper. I lie perfectly still all through the night, and he just thrashes about and rips the covers and moves the covers. And so it just really meant that I was getting absolutely no sleep. So most of the time, we sleep apart. I should say all of the time we sleep apart, and I've never been happier.
Number six. We are in this for life, me and you. And I think what's interesting about, like, after the first decade or so, and we have started to see, and you, when you've been married for a long time, some, even if it's not like super close friends, but people in your peer group, you see marriages, you know, people get separated and all kinds of things going on.
Hit the fan.
Yeah, it all hits the fan. And I've been thinking about that a lot with us, and then also...
Wait. You've been thinking about our marriage hitting the fan a lot?
No, gosh.
You've been thinking about how we...
I think about how the passage of time.
Okay.
In a marriage. And I think that I don't really know the best way to talk about this one, but I would say one thing I'm learning is to kind of ride the waves of change instead of fight them. And what I mean by that is there is no way that 40-year-old Matt is the same as 23-year-old Matt. And you shouldn't be.
Except for my bod. Is that what you were talking about?
I mean, it just looks.
Do you want me to take my shirt off the rest of this recording? You want to see my pecs? All right, carry on.
How am I supposed to recover from
Shirts
that?
Shirt's
off. Oh, gosh. It's
as far
not.
As you know.
No, it's not. Anyway, and I think that sometimes as time goes on, you can go... and I mean, you joke about your shirt. I'm not taking your shirt off. I'm not talking about looks. Obviously our, you know, bodies age. I'm not talking about that. But just like physically there is a change, I think there are other things that change. I mean, God has shaped us and changed us and matured us. And like for me to expect Matt to be the same as he was when he was 24 and he was doing youth ministry and everything was lighthearted and everything was coming up roses all the time because we were just having fun. And
I was more fun at 24.
Well, we all were. I was more fun at 24.
I aspire to be fun right now.
Still,
I aspire to be more fun at 45.
Well, maybe the fun isn't the right example.
No, I keep going. I'm just going to give you a hard time no matter what you say.
Mean,
it's what I do.
Well, I think we are both still really fun.
Okay, good.
But... I just think to have the expectation of sameness is going to be fighting those waves of change, and they are going to happen. So let's figure out how to ride the waves of change together instead of going, well, you're not who you used to be. Of course you're not who you used to be. I'm not who I used to be, and praise the Lord for that, you know?
Well, I think instead of hurting my feelings with how I've changed and I'm not as fun, what we could do is give me an example of how Jenny Mooney has changed since we got married in the way that I'm going to have to ride that wave. Grab a surfboard, folks.
This is a great one. I can talk about this all day long.
Surf's
I would
up.
Say, I would say both loss and being the parent of a child with significant disability and behavioral issues has led to me dealing with and struggling with anxiety. And right now it's not a really high bump, but other times, I mean, I would say you probably did not see much of that at all in those early years. And then, oh, where's it coming from? You know, like lots of anxiety in my life at different seasons. And that's, I mean, you were kind of not like we're totally past it, but you kind of rode that wave of change to say, okay, this is a season and this is what's happening. And you very easily in that season could have been like, what happened to laid back Jenny when got married? You're skipping down the aisle and now you're having a panic attack in the kitchen. You know, like,
gosh,
does that make sense?
I don't have anything to say. I feel like I can't win on this one. Just like you can't win on how I've changed. But I'm going to ride those waves, Jen.
Ride
That's
the
all
wave
I know.
Of change.
I know.
That's
Sir,
good.
Grab the board. Number seven, Jenny, this one was a tough one for me to learn. Not sure I believe it, even though, you know, maybe this is aspirational. We would put this in aspirational. But number seven is that not everything has to be dealt with in totality right now. So said a counselor that we went to in the throes of grief. I'm not sure she knew what she was talking about. But for me, I am, and this might be a good time to talk about us, but I am someone who, when I see conflict or when a problem arises, I see an opportunity for a cannonball right into it. and we're going to get all of your beep out on the table, and we're going to get all my beep out of the table, and we're going to sift through it, and it's going to be messy fun. And we're going to talk about it, and at the end we're going to walk away and we're going to be done with it. I raised my voice cuz I was passionate and I'm in love with you, and we're going to work it out right now. And so I've been told via counselor that's not the only approach. That's not the way that you have to do it. You don't have to deal with everything right now in its totality. Still working on that one. That is my preset. Like, let's fix it. Let's talk about it. If we disagree, let's disagree. Not quite the way you see things, Jenny.
It was an eye-opening thing in that moment. I kind of had just followed your lead in that and gone, gosh, we should do this, even though I didn't like it. And so it was kind of freeing, I think, a little bit for both of us to hear. It doesn't have to be talked about in totality in one moment.
It was not freeing for me. It was shackles for me.
Oh.
I like to talk about it. I like to get in there and work it out and walk away and be done with it. But that's just a different way of dealing with things. And so I think her point was like, that's fine, but not right.
Yeah.
It's not wrong. It's not. But for me, that really was a lesson of like, hey, the way that you preset deal with everything doesn't have to be the way that you guys do it together. And I cannot stand walking away or being quiet when we're arguing about something, but I do it sometimes. And I cannot stand letting things go. I am a confronter, a dealer, but part of the makeup of that is I like to move on.
Yeah.
Like the minute I get it out, tell you what I think, you disagree with me, doesn't bother me. I don't care. I'm moving on. And you tend to, you didn't really talk about it, but you didn't really move on either. And so it's kind of counterproductive if one person feels like they got it out, moved on. And so we're learning from one another, Jen.
So, number seven being every single little thing doesn't have to be dealt with in totality right now. That brings to, you have to have number seven with number eight, which is, it is also really good and healthy to actually talk about things, because my default is to, can we just like, if we not talk about it, will it just go away? Is that, can we just like completely ignore things? And so, the flip side of number seven is number eight with me, which is that we do actually have to discuss things, and it is good to talk about things and to air things out.
And I think this has been a tough one for us, because in a lot of the ways we're alike. In a lot of ways you and I are alike, or we have the same opinions, or we think alike. But on this one, just fight and flight and fight or flight, or however they usually say that, like flight is a strong word for you, because that would signify taking action. Like you just kind of more, it's like
ignore,
fight and
ignore,
shut up,
ignore,
shut off,
ignore.
Like off, but shutting down. And so, I'm not surprised that this one made both of our list, which we didn't plan on.
Yeah.
Number nine, Jenny likes gifts, so buy them. All right. So this one's not super, super deep or anything, but your love language, the way that you feel loved and the way that you feel warm fuzzies about your husband is when he buys you gifts. And
what does it have to be bought? It sounds like very vain.
What's it going to be made?
Yeah, you can make me something.
What's the last thing I made you? It's going to be
bought.
You
wrote me a song.
I wrote you a song.
See?
And that would be 11 years ago.
Or poems. You've done poetry before. That's free.
Just take my man card and shred it up. I have, and I like that, and I own that. I've also been wearing the man bun around if we just want to talk about all my isms. But back to the point. Jenny likes gifts, and so in this note to self, buy them. And so I have a counterbalance on the end of the continuum here. On one hand, I'm kind of tight with resources, and I'm kind of a minimalist with what I think is needed at any given time. I'm like, let's see how much we can do with as little as possible.
Well, the perfect example were pillows. We had registered when we first got married for just, house stuff. And you're like, why are there more than two pillows on the bed? I'm like, well, you have a sham, and then you have the pillow you sleep with, and you have decorative pillows.
And that's exactly what this is, ladies, a sham. We don't need so many dadgum pillows.
Well, and my
throws
point is, like, you
shams.
Should see other people's houses. People have a lot of pillows. Yeah. I have like two extras.
Other people are wrong and strange. But the point is, the counterbalance is, I'm typically a little tight on spending resources. I prefer to
save.
I prefer to put money over here in a little hole and look at it. Hazel's the exact same way, by the way, our daughter. But then there is another side of, I love to give surprises and give good gifts. And so that was the yin and the yang early on in our marriage. Like, cool, I'll buy you something here. Here's a car. I bought you a couple cars. Surprised you with them. I like getting gifts. In fact, I've given you, surprised you with trips, surprised you with cars, multiple ones.
This year?
For the birth anniversary this year, I got you one thing, as we were building a house next door, and as we were doing that, as projects tend to do, you get to the end of them and you start cutting things out. And so one of the things, budget-wise, that we cut out was this in-wall coffee maker that Jenny had oohed and goo-goo-gagooed over since we had been in Ukraine, and she had seen it there, and we had experienced, and she loved it. I mean, it was probably like your number one thing in the house, yeah?
Well, it was, if someone said, like, what do you splurge on? You know, and some people, it's like lighting. And some people, it's like, I don't know.
Pillows.
What do people like? People like pillow. Yeah.
Shams.
I don't know. Shams.
I'm still, I don't know what that is.
But I was like, I know. Someone said, y'all need to get heated floors in your bathroom. And I was like, I mean, that's great. But that was not what I wanted to splurge on. My thing was going to be a built-in coffee maker. I love coffee. We all do. And when the kids were little, I remember thinking, I wish somebody would just deliver me coffee, because I was like too tired to even, like, you know. And so
I wish somebody would just stick it in my arm and with a needle.
Coffee. Anyway, so my thing was going to be that. And then we got to near the end of the project and we were going to cut it out. We just said, cut it out.
Yeah. You texted our long, lanky builder, Lucas. I call him Long Lanky Lucas.
You do now.
Only behind his back and only right now. But you texted Long Lanky Lucas like, okay, we're not doing the coffee maker, da da da. It was one of like 10 things, because that's what you do when you're building. You text
Start
a million
stuff
things
out.
And so you cut it out, and I immediately was like, yes, pounced on the opportunity to birthiversary, huge gift. You were going to be, I mean, I was like, oh, I win. Like,
it was a big surprise. It was a big surprise.
So I had to tell you before, which I really hated, but they installed it. It showed up. We ordered it. So I had to tell you before the actual day. But that is your birth anniversary. We are going to have an in coffee maker, the equivalent of 20 pillows on the bed, at least.
At least.
Happy birth anniversary.
Thanks, Matt.
Jenny likes gifts. Buy them.
Number 10.
Yeah, this is John Ray. And I've been married to Jane for 26 years. One piece of marriage advice I wish I knew when we first got married. Well, since we have our first of our kids, who's getting married in less than a month, this is what I would tell her. Is that marriage is just the start of getting to know yourself, that other person, and God. You need to show up every day. You need to pay attention. You need to not give up, because it's a process. And what you're going to learn as you go is much more important than what you think you know right now. And I wish I had known that. I learned it probably the hard way, but it's been the thing that has been the most valuable in keeping us enduring through the years. So you can do it. Show up. Pay attention. Don't give up.
Number 11. Okay. So there is a girl, we all like people on the social medias and such, right? I mean, everybody's out there on the interwebs these days, following people, not liking people, some like people, all these
thumbs
kind of
up,
stuff.
Thumbs down, yeah. Comment, blah, blah, blah. Woo, follow.
Platforms.
Yeah,
going
anyway, viral.
There is an artist, and I don't even know her name, but her little store name and her Instagram name or whatever is called Grace Laced. And she sometimes will use the hashtag.
Is it like Christian lingerie or no?
It does sound like that. No. It's watercolors.
Because I thought when we were talking about, you know, marriage and we're Christians, I thought that's where you're going was Christian lingerie.
Yeah, that's good. Grace Lace.
It's a good business opportunity, somebody out there. Grace Lace.
Anyway, that is not. She is an artist, a beautiful watercolor artist. And
poor girl. I hope she never gets a hold of this. This podcast.
That it was lingerie. Anyway, occasionally she will use a hashtag called marriage is sanctifying. And I have really liked, even though she's like an artist and she'll like show you her art, whenever she talks about marriage or parenting, I love the way she talks about it. I feel like it is just very real and down to earth and encouraging for me. And so one of the things she has said is that there are a million small moments and invest wisely in all these little opportunities in your marriage. And so that is number 11, is thinking about the small moments. Sometimes I only think about big things, and in the busyness of like where we are with children, you know, take the time. I was very encouraged by that, to take the time and to invest in small opportunities and not just look for the big things.
Can you give me an example of what taking advantage of a small opportunity in marriage? I mean, I love those words, but I mean, make it real practical for me.
I think it would be something like, you always want to watch, we talk about this on the podcast, always want to watch TV shows. Some nights you would rather read and talk, and it's like
some nights I would rather interact with you as a human sit beside you and watch a screen.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so
what an amazing thought for a husband.
Yeah. So it's like being aware of that and having nights where we talk and we don't, you know, watch an episode of something.
An episode of something.
Netflix.
Yeah.
Number 12. Make sure to laugh sometimes. I just think it's so good. When I was in 7th and 8th grade, around that age, I would go on jogs with my dad because he was running. And I remember him saying, he would all throughout would say different things to us growing up that like is real vivid, you know. And one thing he would say is he'd say, find someone that makes you laugh. Your mom and I always have a good, you know, laugh with each other. And I mean, he would say that, like, not like that was the main thing. There was lots of things we were talking about, but that stuck with me. And I remember when my first impression of you, Matt, wasn't great. Not going to lie. You were pretty.
We had a rough start. We had a rough start.
I thought that guy's kind of rude.
Well, now it was a one-way rough start because I saw you walking down the road and it was on.
Yeah. But then what I realized is that you weren't rude. You're actually funny. And so I kind of warmed up to that. And
or
I was
rude
like, oh,
and funny.
Maybe both. Maybe sure. Both. But I just, that is the thing, is that we always laugh. And even when things are really, you know, harder seasons, we're still able to like laugh and have fun. And so I think laughter and fun, it's okay to have fun in life.
Yeah. I mean, we made it our whole one year, and I think it was somewhere around back surgery drama. You know, we said it to each other 1,000 times if we saw it, but we just said more fun in 2015. You know, so we did things, put things on the calendar, spent money. We made decisions around, let's have some fun. And, you know, like for us, that was a time in life when if we didn't make that a priority, there was still enough to do during the day. We still loved each other, but we had to kind of like put a little effort towards like, yeah, let's go to the park and do a picnic. Even though that's 100 times more work, that's really fun. And so can you back me up though and just introduce me to young Matt, muscles just bulging everywhere. We're meeting at summer camp, but why did you think I was rude? You know,
I don't know. I remember you saying something like there was like a group of counselors around this table and you said something and it was like super like witty and quick, shocking, you know. And I was like, well, that's kind of rude. And then I realized later it was just kind of like your humor.
Yeah, but you were a new believer.
Yep.
And you didn't know that you could still like
loosen up,
fun,
yeah,
or tell a joke,
yep,
or maybe even drink a beer and love Jesus. Yep. It was either or with you. You were like, no, I'm on the long skirt train now for the rest of my life.
Yep. So it was a little like shocking. And then I kind of like it actually flipped that same thing was something that also drew me to you and thought, gosh, this guy has a great heart and he's really fun. And so laugh a little, guys, you know, loosen up. There's a lot of heavy stuff. Relationships, living with another human being and figuring out life can be hard. So sometimes you just got to loosen up and laugh.
And single ladies out there, look around your little circle for all the rude people. Maybe you're just misinterpreting them. Maybe they're the best thing that's ever happened to you. Number 13. Jenny, I think this is my equivalent of the newspaper for you. Kind of that, you know, we all, you know, you're putting two lives together. And, you know, I mean, sometimes, I don't know if annoy is the right word, but they're going to step on your little boundaries. They're going to, your druthers, they're not going to be a part of those. And so I had for this number, let her have your sink. And so, you know, we have two sinks and you're constantly in my zone, Jen. And that's because your sink is just full of crap. Just there's, I don't even know what these utensils and ointments, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but you use your sink as a storage bin.
Right.
And you're in my sink and I'm kind of like, no. Like you can go to the kitchen sink. You know, well, there's plenty of other sinks, but this right here, my sink. But you know what? Just like you have learned to die to the newspaper, I've been like, girl, come on over. Brush your teeth over here. I invite you into my sink area. Come into my zone.
I will say we have these IKEA sinks and there's no countertop. It's just two sinks. It's a little like, you know, double sink unit for a small bathroom. And they're wonderful and I love them, but there's no counter space. So I put like my makeup or like my contact stuff. I put a towel in the sink and I set it in there. And then the hard thing about that is actually picking it up. It just lives there. So then I go to brush my teeth and I have to pick up all that stuff to brush my teeth. So I just use yours.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I have matured to a point that's fine. I love that you blamed it on IKEA. You know, because we could have the biggest shelf in the world and you're still using the crap bin system for your sink.
We shall see. The Rent-A-Build.
Oh, it will happen.
We shall see. I have a countertop for this very reason. You're going to be brushing your teeth all you want.
I give you 2 weeks to be stubborn enough to pick it up and be like, no, I can't do that because we talked about it on the podcast. But week three, you're going to be back in my zone.
You heard it here, folks. Wait and see.
Number 14, Jenny, I've left number 14 open because it's the last one that you and I will be doing. So number 14 was just, you know, as we talked about a lot there, we talked about marriage. We're celebrating 16 years of marital bliss, longer than some. I've been saying that since the first week when we surpassed Dennis Rodman and Britney Spears too.
It's true. He has said it literally every anniversary since the first week. And he would say like 12 weeks longer than some. And he'd list some pop culture couple who was only married for like a month.
Dennis Rodman, Britney Spears, king and queen of short marriages. But we have made it longer than some. We have made it 16 years. We find that worthy of celebration. But I thought as number 14, was there anything that we left off? Anything that we didn't talk about that you felt was important or pertinent? Or this was our just little grab bag of things to talk about.
I would say to remember you're not an expert at any given time and to just constantly be a learner. If you can just keep being a learner of your spouse, of this thing called marriage and the complexities and the beauty of it, instead of thinking you're an expert, I think that'll go a long way.
I think that's wise because I can't imagine what we'll say at 32 years. Or 48 years, but we will have learned new things, more things. We won't have it all figured out. If God so chooses to let me live with you that long and have life, I hope we're still having fun.
Number 15.
This is Amber Haynes, and I've been married to Seth Haynes for 17 years. And for a long time, I had believed that I had been called to love, but no one had ever called me to trust, and that maybe it wasn't my job to trust him as much as it was to just love him. But I wish I had known or had believed all along that intimacy doesn't really happen without trust, and that it's worth it to trust my spouse. And it seems like you just obviously would trust the person that you marry, and you don't necessarily know how much baggage you carry into a marriage and how you can just keep on carrying it. But one of the greatest gifts that I've received lately is intimacy because of trust.
And number 16.
This is Carly Tornatore, and I'm married to Ian Tornatore, and I've been married for almost 3 weeks, and I don't even know if I've gotten to the place where I've been like, I wish somebody would have told us this about marriage. But a couple of the best things that we were told about marriage in the first few weeks was to talk about all of our expectations for the day of, the night of, the next week, and it really helped us and has continued to help us going forward. Just any kind of new thing, we talk about our expectations.
And that's it, folks. We hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that maybe you laughed a little bit. Maybe you learned a little bit, because everything we learned there, all 16 of them, we learned the hard way from falling on our face. So hopefully you can learn something. Hey, Jenny.
Hi, Matt.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.